الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، شر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، to continue as relates to explanation of أمور الأحكام with explanation of Sheikh Al-Alama, الشيخ العلامة ابن عثيمين رحمة الله عليه، تنبيه الأفهام in his explanation of أمرة الأحكام and also الإعلام بفوائد أمرة الأحكام from ابن الملقن and also تيسير العلام of بسام رحمه الله أجمعين. Take some benefits from here and there from these explanations, these three explanations. We've reached the hadith, the 26th hadith from this amazing compilation of authentic narrations on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, relating to ahkam, relating to rulings, legislations and so forth, ibadat, worship and muamalat, transactions, interactions and so forth. We reached the hadith an Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه قال جاء أعرابي فبال في طائفة المسجد فزجره الناس فنهاهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فلما قضى بوله أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بذنوب من ماء فأهرق عليه. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, said that a Bedouin came and he urinated in a portion or corner of the masjid, yani Masjid al-Nabawi, the Prophet's mosque, the Prophet's masjid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the people around at that time, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that time, brothers and whom, they shouted at him, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stopped them until the Bedouin had finished urinating. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered them, the companions, to pour a bucket of water over that place. And they did so. To pour a bucket of water, and in the Nubim bin Ma, they pour a bucket of water in that place, and they complied. And in this hadith of Anas bin Malik, which is the second last hadith in this chapter, which deals generally with najasat and so forth. There are many points that we're going to deal with as it relates to this hadith. The first we're going to deal with is the narrator of this hadith, the rawi. And the rawi of this hadith is Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. And we've mentioned him a few times already in this Kitab al-Tahara, this chapter of purification. And we've gone through his biography, as is mentioned by the ulama. And there's no need for us to repeat that now, inshallah ta'ala. So the second point we're going to deal with is the Mawdu' al-Hadith. And this is from Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. Yani the Mawdu' al-Hadith, which is the title, of this Hadith. Yani the title or the heading of this Hadith. If you were to read this Hadith and to give it a title, Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, says that it is Bayanu Kayfiyyat Tathhir al-Ard min al-Bawl. بيان كيفية التطهير الأرض من البول. And that is the clarification of how purification of the or how the earth, yani the floor, can be purified after urine has been on it. How the earth can be purified, yani the ground or the floor can be purified, or carpets or so forth can be purified once, or yani after it's urine, there's been urine on it, after there's urine on it. Now, regarding to this topic headings that we find Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, that which we should understand from this, ya ikhwan wa akhwat, is that this is Ibn Uthaymeen. Obviously there's many benefits that can be taken from this hadith, or many titles that can be taken from this hadith, depending on the maqsood of the mu'allif, depending on the intention of the author. And as we know, this is the Kitab al-Tahara. This is under the chapter of Kitab al-Tahara. And so in that case, that which is clear is the issue of purifying the floor or the ground after urine has been on it. So this is the fiqh of Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, in giving titles to the narrations that Al-Ghazali al-Maqdisi rahimahullah ta'ala has placed in the Ummat al-Ahkam in order to show that which is intended by the mu'allif. That was intended by the mu'allif, and it's from the fiqh of Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. The third issue that we're going to deal with in this hadith is some of the kalimat, some of the mufradat, some of the wordings in the text that may need some type of clarification or to be specified. The first of those is A'rabi. Ja'a A'rabiyun. Yani, a Bedouin came. A Bedouin or close to a nomad, as we would say, a Bedouin, and this person who lived out of the city. So an individual who lived, he didn't live from the city, he lived outside or out of the city. So that's the intent here, A'rabi. A'rabi is a gem, but it's used here to indicate one individual by Ya Nisbi, which is the Ya which ascribes this individual to Bedouins that came to the Masjid An-Nabawi. Naam. The next kalima is Ta'ifa til Masjid. Yani جانب المسجد طائفة المسجد يعني جانب المسجد يعني طائفة generally means a part, a group, but here which is intended here is a section, يعني a section of the masjid, corner of the masjid, back of the masjid, a section of the masjid. And that masjid which is intended here, which is obviously you know, is the masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil Medina, the Prophet's masjid in Medina. And then we have Zajarahu Nas. We have Zajarahu Nas. Yani, the people were, this is the next wording or vocabulary or so that's mentioned in this hadith. Zajarahu Nas. I think the people were hard on him and they retaliated or they acted with shiddah, with harshness towards him and shouted at him and so forth. And then we have Fanahahum. فنهاهم يعني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم which is the next word in, he requested for them to stop. He requested, or he told them to stop, and he stopped treating or being harsh to this individual who urinated in the masjid. The next word in which is mentioned in this hadith is bidhunubin. Bidhunubin, no, it doesn't mean sin, but rather it means a bucket. Yani a bucket that was, the Prophet ﷺ called them to bring a bucket, and he called the companions that were from those who were shouting at this individual Bedouin who urinated in Masjid. The Prophet ﷺ told them to bring a bucket, and then uhriqa is the next word in, and uhriqa means, it comes from urika aslan, but then the hamza was added and then the alif was added linguistically, and the meaning of this, ya ikhwan, is to pour, yani sub. So they pour, he told them to pour water on the place of urine, The next issue we're going to deal with in this hadith is Ibn Uthaymeen's rahimahullah ta'ala, al-alama, al-shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala's general explanation of this hadith, and that's from his usloob in his explanation of Umrat al-Ahkam. And that is that he said, كان الغالب على الأعراب الجفاء والجهل بحدود الله تعالى. And that which is known generally, he says, regarding the Bedouins in that time, the Bedouins, that they had harshness with them, and they were staunch and ignorant as relates to Allah's legislation. So in this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in this hadith, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu gives an example of this. In that, a Bedouin came to the Prophet's Masjid sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there, and so were his companions. And the Bedouin, obviously, as we mentioned previously, he urinated on a section of the Masjid, and this was very great to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of the high station they held of the Prophet's Masjid. So this affected them, Sa'dama, Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, it was considered a major thing for them. So in that they started shouting at him and showing some type of displeasure and harshness towards him because of that which he did and shidda and so forth. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to stop. And he told them to stop in order for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed gentleness and rifq for this ignorant individual. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bared in mind the state he was in as he was urinating. So then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only taught this Arabi, this Bedouin, regarding his actions, but also he's teaching the companions of Muhammad, his companions, and also he's teaching the Ummah as it relates to etiquettes that one has to abide by. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, treated him with wisdom and gentleness, because if, for example, he had stopped the Bedouin from urinating as he was urinated, there may be some impurities would have got on his clothes, and some impurities would have gone elsewhere, and it would have spread at more places in the masjid. So either the impurities could have spilled on his clothes, and urine could have gone on his clothes or anyone else's if he was stopped, and it could have gone to other places in the masjid if he was stopped. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, looking at the benefits and the harms, he, the mafsada and the maslaha, balanced it up, which is what our deen, the deen of Islam, is based upon mafsada, the balancing the mafsada and the maslaha, balancing the benefit and the harms, or the harms and the benefits. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, allowed him to finish urinating so as not to soil himself or urinate in other aspects of the masjid. And also that which is known that for his own health, the A'rabi, that it would have been unhealthy for him if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had stopped him and interrupted his as he was urinating. So there was a lot of hikm and wisdom from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in not allowing those present to stop him and hold him up for urinating in the Masjid al-Nabawi. Naam. This is the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to allow him, yani the Bedouin, to release that which he needed to release, and so that the area can be purified. So then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam again taught the Ummah after that on how to purify area where such things have happened, as in urine and impurities. And he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they should bring water in a bucket and pour the water on the area, and pour the water in the area. And even in Sahih Muslim, there's an extra addition as it relates to this hadith, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam da'a al-A'rabi faqala lahu inna hadhihi al-masajid la tasluh li shay'in min hadha al-bawl wala al-qadar wala innama hiya li dhikrillah was-salah wa qira'at al-Qur'an. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in Sahih Muslim, in the narration that is the love for Muslim, he said that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called the A'rabi after he finished urinating, yani he called the Bedouin, and he said to him that verily these places of sujood, these places, masajid, these areas of praying, it's not befitting for anything else, you know, befitting for urine or any of repugnant things to be in it, but rather it is for, yani the masajid, it's for the remembrance of Allah, and it's for praying, and it's for reading Quran, and it's for reading Quran. وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is in addition, or that we can take in addition of this, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, is a hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahaba bi tarki wa qala fa inna ma bu'ithtu muyassirin wa lam tub'athu mu'assirin. And he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another narration which is in Bukhari, and it's in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, which is in addition to that which we mentioned previously, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded the companions to leave him alone, to leave that Bedouin that was urinating, to leave him alone, because verily we have not been sent to make things difficult for people, and we have not, but verily we've been sent to make things easy for people, and we haven't been sent to make things difficult for people. That's the general explanation of that hadith. That's the general explanation of that hadith. And that which we can take now is the next section, which is Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, is the benefits that we can take from the hadith. The general benefits that we can take from the hadith. And the first benefit that we can take from the hadith is al-inaya bil masajid wa tanziha عن البول والخذر أو الخذرات. And نعم, and that is يعني the care and attention placed in Islam, that care and attention placed in Islam as it relates to the areas of praying, the masajid, the mosques, and freeing it from urine and other types of impure things, freeing it from urine and other types of impure things. The second benefit that can be taken from this hadith is the obligation of purifying purifying urine in the masjid. The obligation of purifying in the masjid purifying anything in the masjid that has anything impure on it, that anything impure gets on it, is obligatory for one to purify this, according to the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third benefit that can be taken from this is that it is sufficient that water purifies najasat. If water goes on the floor, like for example in one's house, water goes on the floor in one's area or workplace or what have you, if that happens, then it is sufficient that one pours water over it in the area that the impurity has happened without having to repeatedly do it. For example, there's no need to get a hose pipe. There's no need to get a hose pipe in order to clean that area that that urine or impurities has been put on it, but rather it's sufficient that one gets a bucket of that amount and just pours it on that area now. The fourth benefit that could be taken from this hadith is the impeccable character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is the impeccable character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is taken from many aspects from this hadith. The first aspect showing the husn al-khuluq and the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he allowed the Bedouin to finish urinating and didn't allow any type of harsh treatment to be given to him, but rather because of his ignorance, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated him with gentleness and wisdom. Number two, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his wisdom, allowed him to finish urinating so he doesn't get any harm in his body or what have you for being interrupted whilst urinating. This from the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also that which controls the impeccable character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is the way that he told his companions to leave him alone. The companions shouted at him and so forth, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simply told him to stop. And he himself wasn't too harsh on the companions, because the companions were reacting regarding their love for the masjid, and because the station in which they held the masjid in, so obviously when someone urinated on it, it affected them and they were very displeased with this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that this is their defense of the masjid and their care that they have for the masjid, so he didn't admonish them, he didn't treat them hardly or severely or what have you, rather he told them just to leave it. But rather, he told us to leave it. And the fifth or fourth example in this hadith from the wisdom and the gentleness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he didn't tell the Arabi or the Bedouin to clean it himself. He didn't tell the Bedouin to clean it himself, but rather he told the companions to go and clean it. And from the tawadu of the companions and the obedience of the companions to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they cleaned it for him when it was actually the Arabi who urinated. And this is good da'wah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and wisdom and gentleness that he showed to this Bedouin. And this shows that the wisdom and the gentleness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the one who has made that error, and also for the one who is correcting that error, even if he maybe transgresses the bounds. And this shows the hikmah and the wisdom of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that regard. And the next benefit that we can take from this hadith is balancing the benefits and harms. Is balancing the benefits and harms, and that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he did here, because the harm of him urinating on the masjid, obviously it could have been the fact that the water would have been sufficient to purify this area. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam balanced the benefit and the harm, and the harm of the individual being harmed by being stopped and interrupted in his urine, or him urinating elsewhere in the masjid, or him urinating in his clothes if he was stopped. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam balanced the benefits and the harms, and he found that the harms outweighed the benefits, so he left the Arabi, the Bedouin, to urinate. And this has shown the principle of balancing the benefits and harms in affairs. The next benefit that we can take from this hadith in وهو إن بعد إن بعد إن بعد إن البعد عن الناس والمدد يسبب الجفاء والجهل. And that is being distant from the people. Being distant from the people and not living amongst people can breed, being distant from the people and living and being distant from where the people are can breed harshness and ignorance. Can breed harshness and ignorance. And that is the fact that this Arabi obviously was not around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, which is why he employed the etiquette of urinating in the masjid, whereas that's because of his distance from the people and the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, and also him being in outskirts, out of the city and so forth, and being from the Bedouin. So here it made him have harshness and also ignorance. And on the point, which is the next benefit, which is I think 8th or 9th, I can't remember, lost count, but there are many benefits of this hadith. One of the benefits that we can take from this hadith is that the compassion that the Prophet ﷺ and the forgiveness that he showed for this Arabi, the compassion and the forgiveness that he ﷺ showed the Bedouin. So much so, in a narration in Bukhari, in Sahih Bukhari, after the incident had occurred, the Bedouin said, I made dua. He said, Allahumma irhamni wa Muhammadan wa la tarham ma'ana ahada. He made a dua. He said, Oh Allah, have mercy on me and have mercy on Muhammad. And don't have mercy with anyone else, except us, And that is because of the effect, and he made that dua because of his the effect that he had, or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had on him regarding the way that he treated him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why he made this dua, and this is in Sahih Bukhari. This is mentioned in the Sahih of Al Imam Bukhari. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, we end the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where an Arabi came to the masjid. He came to the masjid and urinated in a section of the masjid, and the companions, they shouted at him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to stop. And then when the Bedouin had finished urinating, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered the companions to bring a bucket of water, and they poured it on the place that Arabi or the Bedouin urinated on. And this hadith, and that's a benefit, inshallah ta'ala, that we can take from this hadith. And we could start the next hadith, but I'm not sure if the brothers are willing for me to continue with the second hadith. Ikhwan, should we continue? Okay, inshallah, we'll leave it at that, inshallah. And next week, we'll continue with the next hadith from Unut Ahkam. And that's a hadith of Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu. Qala sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, al-fitratu khams, al-khitan, wal-istihdad, wal-qas al-sharib, wa takhlib al-azafir, wa natfu al-ibt. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the natural disposition are five things, and he mentioned them. And inshallah ta'ala, fitra, the natural state of that Islam promotes and so forth. Inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll continue with the explanation of the hadith of Abu Huraira, and by that we'll finish the chapter, and then we start the chapter Bab al Ghusl min al Janaba, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.